Thank you very much, ladies, for your help in leading our music this evening. Tonight, we have kind of a unique privilege in that we have a local mission outreach that's going to be sharing with us the burden and the vision for those who are going through very difficult times. And so we're going to ask Pastor Tim Brunk and his wife Debbie, however you guys are going to work that out, to come at this time and just share with us what God has laid on their hearts tonight. So, Brother Brunk, God bless you.
All right, God bless you. Well, Pastor Lynn, I just want you to know I have thoroughly enjoyed your birthday. You know, it's been great. I didn't know it was today, but I thoroughly enjoyed it anyway. I just want to just take a moment and I just want to preach a little bit and then share how that applies to the ministry of Love, Inc. And how many people here know that the Inc. part of Love, Inc. doesn't stand for Incorporated? All right, what's it stand for? In the name of Christ. Because everything we do is in the name of Christ. And I'll tell you, one thing I'm passionate about is this book. And what's this book? The Bible. And I'll tell you what, I believe that this book is meant to be lived. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to just preach just for a moment, and you're going to have to bear with me. I'm what they call a bivocational pastor. And that means that I not only pastor a church, I pastor the First Assembly of God over in Union City, up on Route 8 going up toward Wattsburg. But I also support myself in the ministry with a job. That's what the bivocational part of it means. And the bivocational part for me is I'm the executive director for Love in the Name of Christ here in Southern Erie County. And I've done that for about 5 years. And I'll tell you, I'll try to keep an eye on the clock because Pastor Lynn told me I have to have us out of here by midnight. Yes, everybody laughed on that. But, you know, I'll just try to be quick. But, boy, I'll tell you, when I start talking about something I'm passionate about, I can't stand behind the pulpit. I kind of wander around. So bear with me. This is something I'm so passionate about. And my wife and I are both here tonight, and Debbie's sort of just here to hear me preach again. Say amen. I'm in trouble. Debbie and I are new grandparents. And so we have a baby across state that's been sick today, so it's been a long day too. But I just want to take a moment and talk about a parable that we're all familiar with. It's out of Matthew chapter 25, if you have your word with you tonight. And it's the parable of the talents. And I think this has something to say to all of us. And so I'd just like to start out in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just would ask that you would open our ears tonight and open our eyes so that we might hear you and see you and see the need that's here in this community. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just be with us, I pray. Amen. Well, Matthew chapter 25, I want to start at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on his journey. Then he who received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he would receive 2, gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And after a time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And so when he had received 5 talents, so he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, my good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid the talent in the ground. Look, here is what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. So you ought to have deposited the money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back mine own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast that unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, I read that, and you know, I read it and see it in light of myself, and I have to ask myself, and I hope you ask yourself, what talents has the Lord given me, and what am I doing with those talents? In this parable, I see 4 different things. And the first thing that I see is that the parable tells us that God gives different gifts to different people. You ever realize that? Now, we're not carbon copies of one another, are we? We all have unique abilities and unique gifts. Now, one man received 5 talents, another 1, 2, and another 1. And it's not a person's talent which matters. What matters is how he uses it. So whether we have 5 talents or we have 1, God is going to hold us responsible for how we use that. And we need to realize that. We need to kind of really, you know, that means that somebody that is a genius and can do all kinds of things, they need to be using that to the Lord. But it also means that the handicapped person that maybe is limited in what they can do, they have talents and they need to use it for the Lord too. And everyone in between. And we need to look for ways to use our talents for the Lord. And that's why I'm here. I'm going to give you in a few minutes a practical way to use your talents for the Lord. So the first thing I see here is that God gives everyone some kind of a talent. And some people get a lot of talent and some people get a little talent. And all he is expecting us to do is to use that talent for him. Now the second thing that I see that this parable tells us is that the reward for work well done is more work to do. How many people love that? Say amen. You know, what we have is an American dream. We want to retire. But in God's economy, there isn't any retirement. Do you know that? Even if we're retired, we need to find some way to fulfill our calling and use our talents for God. Years and years and years ago, I got my start in the ministry helping out in a nursing home. And I helped this fellow by the name of Louis Argo. He was a retired United Methodist minister. And he had one prayer. He wanted to die with his boots on. Now, I think that I kind of got an idea that came out of a movie. Did it? Does anybody? It sounds like a Western thing, you know, die with my boots on. He wanted to die. I'm not kidding. That was his prayer. He was intent on that. He kept asking God, Lord, I want to die with my boots on. You know, the Lord granted that man his request. When he retired from the ministry, he kept plugged in at ministering at a nursing home. And he did it faithfully for 5 or 6 years. And then a young fellow like me and my wife Debbie, we were in our 20s and we got associated with this guy. And we started helping him out in the nursing home. And he had shared that. He wanted to die with his boots on. And one Sunday afternoon, we're there at the nursing home and he says, Tim, I just can't do this today. I'm going to just sit back here and you preach. So he put me out front, and he's sitting back here. And all of a sudden, 2 or 3 people sitting there, the elderly people, kept going, pointing. And it's like, what in the world are they pointing? You know, what were they pointing at? And Louis back here having a heart attack. He died that day. He literally died with his boots on. He realized there's no retirement. He wanted to minister to people to his dying day. And, you know, God granted that request. Now, that shows me that God honors that, and I think God is blessed by that kind of an attitude when we show it in our lives. And so the thing I see here in this parable, that the reward for work well done is more work to do. You ever heard that saying, work yourself out of a job? Well, that's a worldly type of thing. In the kingdom, we don't work ourselves out of a job. When we do a job well, what's this parable say? God's going to give us more responsibility. Now, I can't say But I suspect that that man had probably a lot more responsibility in that nursing home than maybe he even had in parish life earlier. I don't know. But I know this is something that's important to God. So the reward for work well done is more work to do in God's economy. I see that here in this parable. The third thing this parable tells me is that the man that is in trouble is the man who won't even try. Stop and think about that. Out of the three fellows, he had one that had five talents that got five more. He had one that had two that got two more. And what happened? What did the fellow do that had the one talent? He buried it into the ground and didn't even turn it into the bankers to get, what, 1% interest? You know, that's what I think the current bank is. How many people remember the days of 5.25% interest on your passbook account? I'm old enough to remember that. Those days are long gone. And some of you young people are going, really? They gave that much interest? Yeah. Now it's 1.25%. And this fellow, if he would have put that in the bank and got the 1.25%, you know what? I think the Lord would have said, well done. I'm glad you went and put it in the bank and got me a return. And I suspect, now I can't say it for sure, but I know the Lord, and I know you folks know the Lord, and I suspect if this fellow would have went out and tried with that one talent and lost it, I got a feeling God would have had grace. The Lord would have had grace with him. I got a feeling he wouldn't have been cast out into the outer darkness. I got a feeling the Lord said, you know what? You failed, but you tried your best. You tried your best for me, and I respect that. See, this fellow's failure and the reason he was cast out is because he didn't even try. So we need to try. We need to try, even if it's just a little bit of something. We need to take that one talent and use it for the Lord. Now, the last thing that I see here in this parable is that it lays down a rule of life, which is universally true. It tells us that to him who has, more will be given, and to he who has not, he'll lose even what he has. Now, the meaning is this. The man has a talent and exercises it. He uses it. He is progressively able to do more with it. But if he has a talent and fails to exercise it, he'll inevitably lose it. And that goes with anything. If you have a talent of swimming and you never go out and swim, never go near a pool, are you going to have that talent forever? No, you lose it, don't you? If you have a talent, in my case, I spent 25 years before I went into the ministry as an electrical engineer. And that's computers and stuff. How many people realize if you're out of the computer field for 6 months, you lose it? I mean, man, my son runs rings around me on stuff because I haven't used that skill set, and it's becoming rusty. And so when we use that skill set, though, we become better at it. And it's the same way in the church. When we find our talent, whether it's five or one, and we use it, it's going to multiply, and we're going to become more proficient at it. And we won't lose it. We'll actually grow in it. And that's the good thing. So the lesson of life is that the only way to keep the gift is to use it in the service of God and the service of others. Amen? Amen. Now, I've given you the word. Now comes the exciting part. That was exciting. How many people are excited? I get accused of getting a little too excited behind the pulpit in my own church, you know? Pardon me? Can't happen? All right. Well, good. So if I start running, that's okay. All right. Well, praise God. But now comes the exciting part. I always like to share the word, and then so here's how you live it out. And that's what I want to talk about now. I want to talk about Love, Inc. It's a unique ministry. It's love in the name of Christ, and it's a ministry that whether you have one talent or whether you've got buckets full of talent, you can use it to help somebody else. And that's really what it's about. How many people realize our community has a lot of people in need? Do you realize the poverty rate in Erie County is 25%? That means, if you stop and think about this coming week, when you go out there in the street, that means one out of every four people that you pass live below the poverty level. And one of the things that I've learned is that there are people here in this community that are living on $600 or $700 a month. And they have families. And the poverty level's not that generous when you look at it. You know, a family of two, it's like $14,000 a year. And you may think, well, I live on that. But that's not a whole lot in this society. And so there are a lot of people in need. We have a big need for the food bank here and over in Union City. And so there's a lot of people that are hurting. And in my heart is that we find a way to help people address the root need of their hurt and get help to come along and really fix the problem. You know, one of the things we've been guilty of doing a lot of times in the past is Love Inc. is we fix the immediate problem. We take the electric bill that somebody can't pay, and we'll call Pastor Lynn over here and say, hey, can you guys help out with an electric bill? And Lynn will say, well, let me talk to the I don't know in your case if it's a committee or whatever, but I know some churches have a committee, and then they'll get back, and then we'll end up paying the electric bill. And, you know, that's great, but it doesn't solve the root problem. That's where my heart is. And Vicki Kahn is the other employee of Love Inc. I know some of you know Vicki, and both of us are passionate about this. We want to find a way to fix or help people fix the root problem. Now, how many people here, I know, how many people are Christian? How many people are in love with the Lord Jesus? How many people realize that the true solution to people's problems is the Lord Jesus? Isn't it? And so what we got to do is we've got to find a way to take what we do here at church and take it out into the community and find a way to get people to find out that they need to be in love with the Lord Jesus. Because you know what? The shame of this society that we live in is that the media constantly is pumping out the message, you don't want to be around Christians. They judge you. They're mean-spirited. You know, look at how much publicity Westboro Baptist Church got this last week, and they didn't even show up there in Jamestown at that funeral. Now, if you wonder who that is, that's a group of people who think that they've heard from the Lord and are protesting at funerals, and I'm not going to comment any more than to say that. But, you know, the media wants to point to those examples. And so they point to, the Muslims, and they say, oh, look at this, religious people, they're terrorists. And the insinuation is that, well, Christian people are religious people too. And so this is the media message that the people in the community are receiving. And so sometimes it's hard for them to make it in that back door because they've been told these things. And so my burden is, well, how do we that are sitting here in the pews go out there and change that attitude? And that's what one of the missions of Love Inc. We give an opportunity to go out, and I'm going to share that here in a few minutes after I show a video, but we give an opportunity to go out in different ways and just love on people. And my goal is if I can take somebody that's completely unchurched and have them come in and meet you, and you guys just love on them, then all of a sudden they have to go home and they're confronted with something. They have to think the next time that news media comes up and tells them that Christians are judgmental people, they have to go, wait a minute. But I know Pastor Lynn, he didn't judge me, he helped me. And they look at some of you and they go, but I've been prayed for by this person and I've been loved on by this person over here. And then all of a sudden, see, the burden or that barrier that's been erected by our society starts to crumble a little bit. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and starts to say, see? And then all of a sudden, you get the opportunity because you're ministering to somebody. Say, hey, you know what? I've prayed with you for 3 or 4 weeks now, and you see that the Lord has helped you through this. How about you come to church with me? See, then all of a sudden the barrier's not so big anymore because they know that, hey, I know Joanne or I know Fred, and they love on me. They never judged me. Maybe I will go try that church. See, that's kind of where we're going. We've refocused the ministry so that what we're doing is making you, the churchgoer, the lover of Jesus Christ, to be able to go out there and talk and minister to people in a non-threatening way to break down that barrier, and then people turn around and they have life-changing experience because of it. There are people here in this community that 2 or 3 years ago didn't go to a church, and they're in love with the Lord now because somebody went and loved on them. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus went and loved on people. He loved on the prostitutes. He loved on the drunks. He loved on them. And then they said, wow, you know what? I get judged by these Pharisee characters, but this man loves me. And boy, when they came out, Jesus was preaching in a certain town. He didn't have any trouble getting a crowd, did he? Because everybody knew they were going to be loved. the Pharisees, they could put their advertisement out and other Pharisees would show up, you know, and they'd all be miserable together. Who wants that? I'd rather be hanging out with Jesus and be loved on. And so that's my burden. And so what we do here in this mission with Love Inc. is just give an opportunity for the church to love on people. Our mission statement is to mobilize the church. Now, who's the church? Is that this building? Nah, I can't mobilize the building. How many people are part of the church? You're the church. So our mission is to mobilize you to transform lives and the community in the name of Christ. So I want to take just a moment, and I'm going to show a video that kind of give you an idea, if you've never seen us in action, what we do. Now, again, I told you, I spent 25 years as an electrical engineer, but I'm button challenged. So if this doesn't work, I even practiced it a couple times. So praise the Lord. You kind of get the vision for what we're trying to do there. I just want to take a couple minutes and explain what our vision and what we're going to be doing and the opportunities that you have to minister. What you're familiar with, probably if you've known about Love Inc. in the past, is our clearinghouse ministry, which has been in operation for about 16 years here in Cory. And we service the Cory and Union City school districts. So we're basically the southern part of Erie County and the northern part what's the next county down? Crawford County. I want to say Dart County. I don't know where that come from. That's from Ohio. That's years ago. But Crawford County. And so we've had the clearinghouse for 16 years. And the clearinghouse presently is located over here at St. Thomas Catholic Church, but we're going to be moving shortly over to the house that is owned by Evangelical United Methodists here on Center Street. That there's a house that sits between the church and the Rite Aid, and they're going to be moving their church offices back into the church, and then we're going to be in that house because our burden is to become street level, to be out and put our shingle out and be able to have clients start to come in and minister directly in that way. So probably within the month of May, we'll be moving over there on Center Street, and at some point you'll see us put our shingle out there, and you're more than welcome to stop by sometime. But that's the clearinghouse. And what we do is we take phone calls in from the community and referrals from other social service agencies and churches, and we take these calls in and we qualify them and make sure we understand what the need is and then try to plug them into the church network as best we can to fulfill their need. But we also want, when we plug somebody in, to make sure that they're getting the right kind of help. And so we maintain contacts in all the secular social service agencies, and we go to meetings with them and so forth, so we're aware of what they're doing and they're aware of what we're doing, so that if the help is more appropriate to be in that sector, that we can get them that kind of help. And then what we do is we try to qualify that need and make sure that it's the proper need and that the church isn't being taken advantage of either. If we help somebody pay for an electric bill, we want to make sure that it's real, and that the need is taken care of and not something that's just somebody's story to get money so they can go spend it in some other way. So we've done that for 16 years. But in the last two or three years, we've been expanding the ministry into more what they were showing there on the video, and we've been doing that through what we call gap ministries. Now, a gap is a gap in the community that's not being met by any social service agency or church. And so we have got now 35 churches banded together in Love Inc. here in the southern part of the county. 35 churches working together in this, and we're slowly establishing what we call gap ministries in the local churches. Now, let me give you an example of what a gap ministry is. You stop and think about this. You go over here to the food pantry, and what do you get? Food. Do you get toothpaste? Probably not. Or toothbrushes. We established a personal needs closet in my church up there in Union City, and it fulfills a gap. It's the stuff that you don't get at the food pantry, the toothbrush, toothpaste, laundry soap, those type of things. And so what happens is somebody calls in with a need, Vicki qualifies them, and she might send them up to my church. And then I have a couple that run that personal needs closet, and we take donations in from the network of 35 churches of toothbrushes, toothpaste, laundry soap, all those type of things. We stockpile it. Because we're a small church, we don't have a huge budget anyway. We run about 50 people on Sunday morning. That's why I'm bivocational. And so it's a ministry we can handle. And then I have a couple that heads that ministry up. Vicki sends the person in need up there, and guess what? They get the things that they need, the toothbrush and stuff. You go, well, what's that got to do with leading somebody to Christ? Well, I'll tell you what, I've got Brian and Cindy up there that they just know how to love on people. So they come up thinking, we're going to get a toothpaste, toothbrush, toilet paper, hairspray, and while they're there, Brian and Cindy just loves on them. I've seen them in operation. I've seen them do this. They do it so well, and they love on them, and they go, hey, while you're here, can we pray for you? You know, I don't think they've yet had somebody go, well, really, no. Most people go, well, I'm not a believer, but if you want to pray for me and you think that helps, then go ahead. And they pray for them. Now, stop and think. If you're an unbeliever and somebody prays for you and God intersects and helps you in that problem, what are you going to do about it? You're all of a sudden confronted with the reality of the Lord because somebody helped me. And see, there that wall starts coming down. See the genius in this idea? So what you see in that video is people in churches, those were gap ministries. Furniture, that's another one that we do. You saw in there a couple guys on a bike shop. You know, I've been up there. That's in Michigan. I've been there and talked to them fellows at the bike shop. You know how that started? That was a gap. And you go, what, bicycles? How in the world can that be a gap? What, you know, we're supposed to be helping people with food and stuff. How in the world did that? Well, there was two retired fellows that ran a bike shop for years. Remember I told you don't retire with the Lord? And they had this idea for a gap ministry. They went around to all the different police departments up there in Michigan and made agreements with them that unclaimed stolen bicycles would get donated to their ministry, to the Love Inc. And they set up this bike shop in the back of a warehouse, and that's what you saw going on there. And they take these bicycles, and these two guys sit there and they paint them bikes. They make them better than the new one you'd get at Walmart. I kid you not. These guys are deadly serious about this ministry. I mean, this is their ministry, baby, and we're going to do it. So they get all these bikes in that are unclaimed. They fix them up. Well, the clearinghouse during the year is keeping track of kids and families that they've ministered to through their Gap network that don't have a bicycle. Guess what happens Christmas? Those kids get a bicycle. Now, and they not only get bicycle, they get loved on in the meantime by people that just they're there to love. See that what this does? You go, well, what's a bicycle to a kid? That these people are dirt poor. What's that going to help them? They get loved on. They feel the love of Jesus. Man, and I'll tell you what, I think sometimes when we give somebody an item, man, I'd encourage you to pray over that item. Pray a blessing on it. You realize there's people in the all called out there that are praying curses on stuff all the time. Man, if they can do that, why can't we pray a blessing? And I'm just, I believe in my God enough to know that blessing goes with that item and somebody's going to get double blessed. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that we do. And so here in our area, Gap ministry-wise, what we've done is we've started several church ministries. One is a backpack ministry. Well, what's a backpack ministry? We take backpacks in the fall, load them full of school supplies, and then we take those and give them to the schools because the school knows who is in need and who isn't and matches the backpacks up to the kid and the child gets blessed. And you know what? The people in the school get blessed too because, again, they're getting loved on. So we do backpack ministries. We do furniture and appliances in the home. Beaver Dam Mennonite does that one. The backpack ministry is Union City Alliance Church participates at, and the New Life Assembly of God over here in Corey does that. We do furniture ministry, which is a big need in this area. We take furniture donations in, we house them in a trailer, and then we try to match them up with the need, and Beaver Dam Mennonite does that and then gets that furniture, piece of furniture out into the home. Again, another opportunity to love on someone. Heavenly Harvest is a community garden that'll be operating this summer. His Helping Hands is a small repair ministry run by St. Thomas Catholic Church. They do small repairs in the home. stuff like that. Linen Ministry, First Presbyterian Church. They take in donations of towels, washcloths, pillows, pillowcases, and then so we give somebody a bed. Guess what? We can have this other church give them linens. And so what's so cool about this is it's all of us working together. Evangelical, Pentecostals, Roman Catholics, Lutherans. It's all of us working together. I'll tell you what. I would rather be in a ministry today where across denominational lines we're finally working together and respecting one another than any other time in history, except maybe the early church. That would have been pretty cool to be a part of the early church. You know, see the day of Pentecost. That would have been cool. But you know, now is a unique time. And so we've got all these churches doing these things. Personal care closets. I said my church up there in Union City does that. St. Paul's Lutheran here in town in Corey does a personal needs closet. We have the Wheels of Love Transportation Ministry, which we run out of our office. You realize transportation is a real problem down here. I think there's one bus a week. But what do you do if you don't have transportation? You need to get to the doctor. So we have people and that provide transportation when they can, and we'll call somebody and say, hey, can you give Joanne Smith, and I hope no one knows who that is because I just pulled that name out of the air, John Doe, say that, and can you take them on Thursday to the doctor? Oh, yeah, I can. And then we can actually help reimburse. We've got some grant money that was given to us to help reimburse that. That's at 14 cents a mile. How many people know that don't even cover the gas? But that's what the government will allow us to reimburse. But it at least will help pay for the gas. But we have transportation ministry, helping people get to the doctor. We've got winter apparel ministry that's run by the McRae United Methodist Church and the First United Methodist in Union City. Coats, hats, and boots. You know, in the fall, we give away coats, hats, and boots to people. Wood ministry. If somebody's heating their house with wood, we've actually got a church. It's the Assembly of God Church here in Corey that has somebody that has some extra wood, so we can actually help them out with some heating wood. You know, what I'd like to ask you folks to do is, with your pastor, put your heads together, be creative. If you see a gap in the community, it's like the bicycles. Who would think a bicycle would be a legitimate gap? But somebody got the burden, and a church took it upon, and they helped these guys get started, and it blesses people. So I want you to just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. If he speaks something to your heart, tell your pastor about it. I hope that's okay with you. And you guys would be more than welcome to open up some kind of a gap in the community here. Because this is just such a perfect way of helping people, just being love on them, break those barriers down, give them what they need to help them out, but just more than anything else, love and pray for people. Now, that's what we're doing up till now. We've been doing that, but we've got another thing that we've been working on for a few years that the technical name for it is relational ministry, and we're launching this year. We're calling it Fresh Start. And what we're going to do is we're going to identify that 5 or 10% of our clients that would really benefit from an intense mentoring. That's what you saw going on there with the accountant. Those people, I've been up there and seen that program. They sit down with that accountant fellow in a classroom. They come in on a Thursday night. They meet with their mentor for an hour. He helps them pay the bills. He sits down with the checkbook and the bills and helps them pay it, makes sure that the money that they do have goes to pay the bills. And then he plugs them into the different gap ministries to help subsidize that. So part of your participating in the program is you get subsidized to some extent with some of your living things like groceries and so forth through the gap chain ministries. And then in exchange, you stay plugged in that mentoring relationship for a year. And then they have other classes in that church. We're going to launch that here in Corey over at Evangelical United Methodist back in one of their Sunday school wings here in the next few months. It's going to be called Fresh Start. And we're looking for volunteers. And so if you have some kind of a burden to just sit down and kind of mentor people, I'm going to pass out here in a few minutes some things to fill out if you'd like. Just if you're even thinking about things, maybe in some wild chance I might be interested in that, check it, sign it, put your name and address on it, and give it back to us. And, you know, there's no obligation. We're not going to come up, but you signed that form. You know, if you thought about it and you said, you know, I really don't think I want to do this, hey, that's cool. There's not going to be any pressure. But I want to encourage you, put your name down. So we're not going to be calling you constantly or anything, but we want to, if you're interested in that, call. There's opportunities to volunteer at the clearinghouse, taking phone calls. There's opportunities to volunteer driving people to the doctor. There's opportunities to volunteer in gap ministries. There's all kinds of opportunities. All you got to do is say, you know what? Here's something I'm able to do. I can stitch and put that down. And you know what? Maybe that's the beginning of a new gap ministry, the sewing or something. So I'm going to have these passed out in a few minutes. And just if you would, if you're even thinking about it, look at the form. It's double-sided. One has volunteer opportunities and the other one has fresh start opportunities. So they're two different things. But, you know, again, if you look at this, I would just encourage you just to follow your gut feeling, check the box and give it to us. And then think, go home and pray about it. And then when we call you, you can say, well, I prayed about it and I don't think that's it. Or I've had this other idea. And tell Vicki that at that time. And then we'll talk to you about that too. But we have that going on. We've got another opportunity that came up that will fit in the Fresh Start. This one is a God opportunity that we didn't even know what was coming. How many people are familiar with a program, the Anchor House here in Corey? Anybody familiar with that? You know, they're unfortunately, they've lost their grant money, and they're having to divest themselves. Of they're going to close down. In fact, they already have closed down. And they approached us to see if we'd be interested in their properties over here on Church Street. And our board looked at that, and their board looked at that, and it's at this point a handshake agreement. That'll probably happen the 1st of June, is to transfer those properties. What we're going to do with them is we're going to turn them into transitional housing. So let's say that we have out of that people in our Fresh Start program that we're going to do anyway, whether these properties came through or not. If there was a housing problem there where they needed a place to live, we're going to be able to house, I believe, five families is the way we figured it, over on those two properties. We're going to divide it up. One of them's a duplex and the other one was their group home. We're going to divide that group home into three. And so, again, it is going to be just given for anybody to live there rent-free, but if you participate into the program, you may be able to live there for a period of time. So, again, it's another way of loving on people, because you know what? If you live in one of our transitional housing units, you're going to have to come to Bible study and you're going to have to participate and you're going to have to get loved on. And that's what my burden is, man. Let's love on them as Christians, because isn't that what Jesus does? So again, I want you just to again, when we pass these out, just if you think maybe, go ahead and sign it and then go home and pray about it and how you can help. And I can just tell you that we've got people that just I get blessed. How many people realize when you bless someone, you get a bigger blessing most of the time? You ever realize, figured that out? You know, it's amazing. You get blessed. So there's a blessing in it for you. And then there's the blessing when we're at the end of our life and we go through that threshold and we wake up in the Lord's presence and we hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Isn't that? That's the biggest blessing of all. So if I could have a couple of ushers or a couple of gentlemen or ladies, it doesn't matter. And I'm going to just have these passed out. And again, if you'd rather not, then don't put anything on it. But if you would just, if something you look at that and go, maybe, then please check it, lay it on the table back there in the foyer or give it to me or my wife. And we'd be so grateful. And again, there's two sides of it. One is for Fresh Start and the other is for just the volunteer opportunities. Again, phone volunteer, a driver, a prayer team. Man, I can't believe it. I'm a pastor, and I didn't even mention that earlier. Oh, we have a prayer team that saturates all of this in prayer. Gap ministries, coordinating product drives, praying for Love, Inc., and then for the Fresh Start, being a coach. And we're going to train you for all this. We don't just say, hey, here it is. Here's the phone. Good luck. We train you. Coordinating at the Fresh Start, we're going to have child care. Now, here's one for you. I saw this in Michigan. It worked so well. They had up in Michigan 60 people in there on a Thursday evening. Now, they gave free babysitting. How many of you parents would go, amen, I'm for that? You know what the kid? These were unchurched people. No, but you can have that one. These were unchurched people. You know what they did with the kids? They did free babysitting. They had them out back in the Sunday school room. These are unchurched kids. They're learning about Noah and the Ark, about Jesus, about David and Goliath. You know, unchurched kids. So they're going home on fire for the Lord, talking about all this stuff. Their parents ain't got a clue what they're talking about. You think that has an impact in the family? Because the kids are coming home and preaching to the parents. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the potential behind this. So we need people that are willing to watch the kids. But hey, I'm crafty. I don't want you just watching the child. I want you to be ministering to them and teaching them about things that they don't know about. Greeters. There's something that, you know, a friendly face when they come in the door. How many people know that's a ministry, isn't it? Greeter. Coordinating food ministry. And again, committing to prayer. And so if you can help us with any of that, we'd be so grateful. Do we have any questions or anything I could answer in closing? All right, amen. Then, Pastor Lynn, I'm going to turn it back over to you, brother. And thank you very much for allowing me the privilege of coming by tonight and sharing what's on my heart.